Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us today. Show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. You need a great relationship with your insurance agent, and they are the people that will talk to you every time and make sure that you are the priority. Whether you're buying new insurance, updating insurance, or if there's a claim, the customer comes first. Not only that, they are great, great people to deal with. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Privileged to be in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. This play didn't count because of a foul, but our play-by-play call of the day, a fun one by Andre Iguodala.
Closer. Lowry sent away. Great block. And Durant spinning, threw it ahead to Iguodala. He was fouled. That would have been a fun play had it counted.
Great defense, first of all. Klay Thompson. Saw him block Kyrie Irving the other day. And then Iguodala knew the whistle already blown. Otherwise, he's not going to try that. But how about this from Durant?
This is between the legs, behind the back lob.
Fun, but it didn't count. That's our play-by-play call of the day. All right, let's bring in John Oran, Sports Business Journal. He's the one that broke the story about the Big Ten contract. And this is a story, it affects Penn State fans because you watch the Big Ten championship game. And I'll tell you right now, and then I watched last week, the one bowl game Fox had was the Foster Farms Bowl last week. I mean, Gus Johnson is a great listen to, along with Joel Klatt. They do a great job. I think it's going to be fun having Fox do a series of games next year because their top crew is not only really professional, but they're a fun crew to listen to. John, welcome. It is great to have you with us.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
All right, let's start with, obviously, the Big Ten, because this affects Penn State. They have one more year to go in the contract. You're the one that broke the story. How do you know, when you analyze the Fox deal, the ESPN-CBS deal, in conjunction with the Big Ten, did Jim Delaney, in today's market, maximize what he could get?
Yes. In today's market, that's a great qualifier in there. Yeah, he did. Right now, the cable market is contracting. And so if you think about the last time the Big Ten cut the deal, which off the top of my head, I think it was around 2010 or 9, ESPN had about 10 million more subscribers at that time. And so they've been dropping, about a couple million subscribers every few months. And that costs them a lot of money. So they've been in cost cutting mode. They've been, having a bunch of layoffs. Fox has been having a bunch of buyouts. They're also in cost-cutting mode. And Fox and ESPN are the two biggest supporters of college sports, and especially among sports media companies. And you have NBC that has, a Notre Dame deal, and you have the CBS has a couple of deals, and Turner has a tournament. But basically, by and large, the biggest checks are being written by ESPN and Fox. And the Big Ten, it looked like, missed this they missed it by a couple of months, basically. If they'd gone like maybe a year earlier, the market was still frothy. That being said, in a down market, they still, pretty close to quadrupled their rights fee. It's a great news for the Big Ten, and it speaks to how valuable these networks find not only the Big Ten programming, but just the brands that are in the Big Ten. Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan, big college football brands.
No question about that. The fact it's a six-year deal, they went last, as you pointed out this time, John. In the next cycle among college entities, they'll go first. How interesting is the six-year part of it because of how it plays?
No, I think it's fascinating. You think about the SEC, they have a deal that takes them into 2030. The ACC just renewed their deal for another 20 years, so that takes it into 2036, I believe. Hmm. What Jim Delaney decided to do is, you know, we're going to take this deal, and again, it's a great deal because they got a lot more than they got the last time. But it wasn't as much as they were expecting, like I said, if they'd won a year earlier. So he decided we're going to do a short-term deal, and then when it comes up in 6 years, who knows who else is going to be at the table. Is Hulu going to be at the table bidding on it? Is Facebook or Twitter or Google? I mean, so all of a sudden in 6 years, there could be a whole sea change about the types of companies that are actually kicking the tires on it, and you could see a new sort of bidding war start to develop.
As we all know, you don't teach your children through sports. The Big Ten has 14. The Big 12 has 10. So you don't teach your children through sports. But the Big 12 is talking expansion. There's a lot of talk they'd like to have some things done before Labor Day. But there is resistance from the television partners. John, what is that resistance? Because you just wrote about it on Sports Business Journal.
Well, the Big 12 is taking a look at all these other conferences. Like the Big 10, they have their own network, which funnels a ton of money to each school. The SEC has its own network. The Pac-12, even though the network isn't doing particularly well, they have their own network. And all of a sudden this summer, the ACC announced that in 3 years they were going to launch a network. Well, the Big 12, they can't really launch a network. Texas has set up the Longhorn Network, so they own a bunch of rights that would have to go to any sort of Big 12 network. Oklahoma has a deal with Fox, so that takes up some of its rights. So the Big 12 is looking around, they're trying to figure out how to grow. And one of the biggest ways to grow is if you add in teams by media contract, all of a sudden you're going, ESPN and Fox, which have deals for the Big 12, are going to have to pay more, about $20 million each per year more. And so that's how the Big 12 decided they wanted to grow. They were going to just add a couple of teams and get more money from ESPN and Fox. Well, as I said earlier, ESPN and Fox are in cost-cutting mode, so this plan didn't sit well with them, especially given that they were talking to teams that ESPN and Fox thought would water down the conference and make the conference less valuable, not Power 5 conference teams. So there's a butting of the heads over there right now, and it's going to be really curious to see how that all plays out.
Yeah, the other part, too, is that, you know, you'd have to obviously divide the pie by more parts. Now, in the Big Ten, you're graduated in when the new contract starts with Fox and ESPN. That'll be the first year where Nebraska gets a full share, and Maryland and Rutgers won't get a full share until the fourth year of the new contract. Is that how the Big 12 would then justify doing this in terms of splitting up the pie more, even though they get more from ESPN, that they'd have to graduate to get to eventually a full cut?
Yeah, absolutely. That's it entirely. And so ESPN's taking a look, to use an example, they pay for Brigham Young, and they pay about $1 million per home game, and they have about four or five home games. So they give Brigham Young about $4 to $5 million more per year. Well, Brigham Young is one of the teams that the Big 12 is talking about bringing over into the conference. So if they bring Brigham Young over into the conference, all of a sudden that they're going to go from $4 to $5 million a year to $20 million a year. And ESPN's like, that doesn't compute necessarily, especially since if they get to the conference, ESPN will be paying for that full 20, ESPN and Fox will be paying for that full, you know, $20 million per year. But only a fraction of that cut is going to go to Brigham Young, and the rest is going to go to the Big 12, split among the existing schools there. So for the networks, they're viewing that as a real cash grab.
All right. Now, the next part is deals with the ACC, because in 2019, they'll have the ACC network. And you and I both know the Big Ten network, when it was launched, first year, okay, they lose money, but then they got Comcast and Time Warner on beginning the second year, and the network has taken off. The SEC through ESPN has certainly taken off. What are the odds the ACC can have the same success in the current climate?
It's going to be interesting to see. I'm a skeptic on the ACC network. I think that the Big Ten network, when it launched, those were brutal battles that first year. I mean, in Columbus, Time Warner didn't carry it. You know, in Chicago and some of the big markets, Comcast wasn't carrying it, and it was a real brutal battle. And eventually, Comcast and Time Warner had to buckle under, because they were just losing subscribers in Columbus to DirecTV and in other sort of Big Ten markets. And so by the time the SEC came around, that was about 2 years ago, that was the most successful launch in cable TV history. I mean, everybody signed up pretty quickly. The cable operator, I'm not sure exactly which cable operator it is, but decided that they didn't want to be in Tuscaloosa and not show an Alabama game because they know that the fans are so rabid that they would have dropped it. But 2 years on now, if you take a look at the cable industry, the cable operators have figured out they can exist in Los Angeles without carrying the Dodgers. That's the biggest sports brand, maybe the Lakers, but one of the two biggest sports brands in the entire market. In New Jersey and Connecticut, Comcast has figured out they don't need the Yankees, which is unheard of. That's certainly like the biggest sports brand in that sort of New Jersey, Connecticut area. And so all of the cable operators now are back to where they were when the Big Ten launched, and it's like, we don't think that we need it, and there are probably going to be a lot of really big distribution battles, I think, when the ACC starts to launch.
And again, what's interesting about the Dodgers is that you're not only getting the Dodgers. People don't realize there are a lot of people in Southern California not watching Vin Scully in the final year of his career, and you would think that that would be a draw, but they've drawn the line.
One of the things cable operators have figured out, and I can speak from experience in my own house. I mean, I live in the D.C. area, so if I decided, like, boy, I really need to switch my cable provider because I can't see, you know, the Maryland-Illinois game, you know, I would really have to convince my wife to switch, you know, the phone numbers and switch internet providers and switch TV companies, stay home and wait for the cable. I mean, inertia is a big thing in the cable business, and they have us stuck now because we don't just get television from them. We get internet and phone as well.
Exactly right. And then the other part, too, is you have to convince satellite providers to get involved in some of these cases. And the ACC, you wrote, is struggling with satellite providers.
Well, the satellite providers are, it's going to be, they haven't really started to try to negotiate that yet. So I wouldn't call it struggling. I just, you know, DirecTV is the one that has decided they're not going to pay for the Dodgers in L.A. And so they've become a little bit more emboldened. I think that there's probably going to be a really tough negotiation there, but they haven't started the negotiations enough to describe it as struggling.
Okay. Rio Olympics, of course, will start with the opening ceremonies on Friday. Now, for all the complaints about Rio, what has it meant ad-wise for NBC, and how strong have the sales been for them?
Oh, they've been huge. They've set a record. I mean, all of the problems that everybody's reading about with regards to Rio, you know, everybody read about them before Sochi as well. A lot of people read about them before the London Olympics, certainly before the Beijing Olympics. The problem right now is that you have thousands of reporters that are in Rio to cover the games, that there aren't any competitions yet, so they can't cover the competition. So what do you cover? And so you sort of cover some of the things that are going wrong down there. My bet is that because it's in the same time zone, because there are some really popular Americans like Michael Phelps and Katie Ledecky, especially early on in the games, who are projected to win gold medals, that the ratings are going to be through the roof. I can tell you that the advertising is they're not sold out, but they are charging a premium, and they're getting a lot of activity. So they're doing very well advertising wise. I would be shocked if this is anything but a great news story for NBC and Comcast.
Yeah, in fact, let's bottom line. I mean, so much of it, as you correctly point out, we're so used to watching tape delayed Olympics. People are going to get the chance to see it live in this country, and I think it makes an exponential difference in what you're talking about ratings wise, which then translates to ad money.
Yeah, absolutely, and the time zone in particular is one of the reasons. The Vancouver Olympics were huge in this for that very reason.
John, how well are regional? You mentioned the Dodgers. So let's take the Dodgers off the table. Are regional cable networks that carry, I don't care whether it's NESN or Root Sports, Are they doing well enough right now carrying regional sports that cater to the local teams outside of what the Dodgers, and you mentioned the Yankees as well?
Well, you know, the same problems that are hitting ESPN and Fox Sports 1 and NBC Sports Network, they also affect the regional sports networks, too. I can tell you that, you know, Comcast, NBC Sports Group has all the Comcast sports nets, you know, on the various coasts. Fox Sports has a bunch of regional sports networks. Root Sports, I believe they're in Pittsburgh and in Western Pennsylvania.
Yep.
They have enough mass of networks so that it's easier to negotiate with bigger cable operators. So you take one, you may as well take 10. Some of the ones like Nesson, you know, could be having some problems eventually when their deals come up. But right now, other than something like the Dodgers, which is sort of a new channel that's really coming out with a high price point, you know, a lot of the existing RSNs, regional sports networks, are still doing fine in terms of carriage. I mean, you're not really seeing anybody drop them yet.
John, one final question, then I'll let you go. And it deals with how we get our sports today. You know, whether it happens to be streaming, satellite, we've talked extensively about cable. I mean, 5-10 years ago, I mean, I don't know if anybody could envision any of this as to how it's played out. What has been something that is surprised even you as you've followed along as to how it's played out in the last 5 years as to how we get our sports and what isn't doing well?
So I'll go back to a question that you asked earlier about the Big Ten, which has a deal now that goes out for just 6 years. I mean, if you think 6 years ago in 2010, you know, we didn't have iPads. You know, the idea of streaming not only full channels but your entire cable system to iPads would have been unthinkable. It would have been unheard of. And so kind of what's been surprising to me is watching these big media companies like Disney and like 21st Century Fox. They exist to try to keep this cable, they're trying to keep the whole cable system intact because that prints money for them. They've had a very successful run with the cable industry as it's grown. But now as the cable industry is contracting, I'm dying to see which one is the first one to sort of try to get outside the whole cable industry and start to go direct to the consumer. I don't think that we're getting close to that, but that's something that's going to be very interesting to watch.
Well, John, I know we worked hard to get you on because your insight is amazing, and I appreciate the time you finally did give us because I know you're awfully busy, and I know the audience loved listening to it. Thank you, John, very much for your time.
Hey, happy to do it. Thanks for having me, guys.
John Oram from Sports Business Journal, he really is the best in the business at that. The number of stories that he breaks, he is so well connected. I know there are other people. ESPN has tried to get a sports business deal going and trying to cover it and so forth and try to get social media covered and so forth. But they don't have a guy like this on their staff. John breaks a lot of stories. They're really deep into the business end of it. I don't care whether it's sales, whether it's marketing, whether it's television contracts, whether it's teams being up for sale. John and Sports Business Journal, they're on top of all of it. And the TV part affects all of us. I mean, it affects all of us as to where we're going to find our sports. I don't care whether it's an NBA contract or what the NHL wants to do, college football. The six-year deal that the Big Ten has is going to be interesting. Because what happens is the Big Ten was the last of the major conferences to negotiate its contract. It looked like they were in a great, great spot 2.5 years ago. Then all of a sudden, some things in the landscape changed, and suddenly the Big Ten looked like it was in a weakened position. Then they came up with the deal with Fox and Fox Sports 1. They came up with the deal with ESPN, where ESPN initially had lowballed the Big Ten, then had to come back to the table with a far more significant number because Fox had already been involved. And, of course, the CBS contract, which is not talked about a lot, but is still money that comes into the conference on top of what they do with the Big Ten Network. Well, now they've gone from being the last to negotiate, and it turns out because this is a six-year deal, the Big Ten, the next round, will be the first to negotiate. And who knows what the landscape's going to look like in 6 years? Who knows? I mean, think back 6 years ago. I mean, think back to, here it is 2017 now. So January 3rd, 2011. What did the landscape of everything look like on January 3rd, 2011? And what does the landscape look like now on January 3rd, 2017? It's completely different. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
If you're not insured with the Purdy Insurance Agency, you may not be getting the most out of your insurance coverage. Locally owned and family operated for over 90 years, the experienced team at Purdy will compare your rates and coverage among a number of nationally recognized insurers to make sure you're getting the most out of your insurance dollars. And once you join the Purdy family of customers, you'll experience service and claims handling that's second to none. Call 1-800-677-2478 to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Of course, the Purdy's always sponsor our Monday show. Yesterday's show was interrupted by something called the Rose Bowl. So we're very pleased to talk about Purdy Insurance today on Tuesday's show. A great organization. People, I mean, they are the customer first, but they're the kind of people you just like being around. Every time I'm around the Purdy group, they are just really great people just to be around, not just to deal with, but to be around. When it comes to insurance, they are the pros' pros. I don't care whether it's personal, auto, home, life, commercial, business insurance, whatever. They have a division for it at Purdy Insurance. They cover it all, and they also make sure that you, the customer, come first because they want to make sure you get the right insurance that fits your needs at the right price because they want to make sure it fits your budget, and if there happens to be a claim, they act as if it happened to them. They jump on it right away because they're trying to make this as worry-free as possible for you. That's why you have insurance. That's why you have a great insurance agent like Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. Always great to have a car dealership that you can also deal with and trust and have great people as well. That defines our great friends at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Happy New Year, everybody. Great to have you with us. Sports Bozo of the Day. This isn't really... I would not define them as sports bozos because everybody is entitled to their own opinion, and there's nothing wrong with the opinion at all of feeling that there are too many bowl games. There's only one left, the national championship game on Monday night in Tampa. But of course, you hear often during bowl season, it's too many bowl games, too many bowl games. This is what I observed during the bowl games this year. I saw a lot of close games, hard-fought games, and I also saw incredible passion in the games. I mean, great passion, great effort. And at the end of the bowl games, I noticed the incredible joy and jubilation of the team that won and the incredible despair of the team that didn't. The games mean something to the players. They mean a tremendous amount to the players. And it seems like that part of the opinion is rarely taken into account. That's why I bring it up. All right, the NFL playoffs on the horizon. Kim Jones joins us from NFL Network. It is always fun to hear you on the other end of the phone. Kim, great to hear you again.
Steve, as I say to most of the men in my life, it's about time I hear from you again. It's been a while.
It's been too long, as a matter of fact. How about that? Far too long.
How are you? I'm sure Happy Valley is so happy. I hate when announcers say that. Happy Valley's happy again. Yeah, but you know what? I bet it is.
It is, and I'm not a person that ever says that. In fact, I think at the end of the Wisconsin game, I said, look, they brought back the fun, they brought back the excitement. I think that's what they've done. They brought all of this back, and everybody feels better about everything because of what they've done.
Well, and I will tell you this, since it's just you and me talking, I often, almost always, listen to you and Jack. First of all, because I love you and Jack, but it's also the definitely preferred listening option if you're a Penn State fan these days. So absolutely love hearing you and Jack on the call, and it's terrific.
Well, thank you. And, of course, we know the great respect I've had for you for a long time. You have had a front row seat on Giants and Jets. I want to start with the Giants. We'll start with the better part of it. How about that? The Giants last year in the world of margin of error kept falling on the south side of the margin of error in the last 5 minutes. What's changed this year where they're on the north side of it?
Well, better talent, and they paid handsomely for it. But I do think the Giants can be a lesson to other teams, including college teams, where, as we know, some get paid, but not most, and certainly Penn Staters don't. But, you know, the Giants brought in free agents and gave them incredibly high contracts, but they also brought in the person in addition to the player. And they have guys, Steve, who give a darn. They are prideful. They play their tails off. Olivier Vernon plays more snaps than any other defensive lineman in the league. And now that Jason Pierre-Paul is hurt, it's not even close. And they really play together, and it's as good a locker room as I've been in a long time. So they're doing a lot of things right on and off the field.
See, and that's a really good point there, because one of the items that, you know, and Kim knows because she was around here so long around people, that recruiting individuals, sometimes recruiting families, is just as important as recruiting the player themselves.
There is no doubt, and I'll tell you what's going to start to happen, because I'm the reporter from NFL Network who covers the Combine, and I've begged them to never take that assignment away from me because it's my favorite of the year. It will, in short order, people, because they know I'm a Penn Stater, people around the NFL will start to say to me, what's Saquon Barkley like? I know they love him already, by the way, but and the NFL, as you know, Steve, increasingly cares about the person. It doesn't mean they're all angels. I'm not trying to paint some Pollyanna picture, right, but they increasingly care about what kind of guy are we drafting in addition to the player.
What kind of year has Manning had? Because there are times where he has an Eric Flowers issue.
Well, and he has an Eli Manning issue, too. Let's be honest. Yep. Eli is not having his finest year.
No,
he's
no.
Here's the deal with Eli, and the Giants have known this for years, and they've had a lot of success with it like this. But Eli has to feel comfortable. It doesn't always mean that Eli can't be rushed. It doesn't always matter that Eli can't be sacked. It matters that Eli believes that he's not going to be pressured. Eli's been pressured a lot. He hasn't been hit a great deal and has not been sacked a lot. He gets rid of the ball quickly. But he clearly lacks some confidence in his offensive line, rightly so. But it is leading to some passes and some plays, including the fumble the other night, where he's rushing and it's more of the mental game physically, excuse me, than the physical game. It's funny to say that about a two-time Super Bowl MVP. But you know what, Steve? He's human. He is not particularly mobile. And he operates best when he's not thinking, not overthinking, and just playing. And I think when you have time to think about having a pretty bad left tackle, I'm sure it plays on the mind of any quarterback.
The Cowboys have faced two good defenses the last couple of weeks, and they've totaled 24 points in doing so. So when you look at them now, and you had a good long look at them the other night, what are you seeing in Dallas?
Well, to me, the most important stat the other night, and there are a gazillion, was that Ezekiel Elliott did get his 100 yards against the Giants. He didn't in week one. He did this week. Good for him, right? Well, he got 21 after halftime.
The
New York Giants were able to hang in there, keep it at 7-0 at halftime, and then said to themselves, if we pitch a shutout, we have a chance. And that's exactly what happened. So I know the offensive line from Dallas gets as much acclaim as anyone or anything in the NFL, and most of it is rightly so. But when it really, really mattered, he got 21 yards on, I believe, 9 carries. If you can shut down that running game, they can't beat you, especially not in conditions like Sunday night, which were not brutal. We've seen much more brutal conditions at Beaver Stadium in the past years.
Right,
but
right.
It was cold, and the ball was slippery.
Yeah, Dak Prescott, right? He's a different kind of guy, obviously, than Tony Romo. And that was obviously a big game for them. Where is he right now? Is he plateauing maybe for the first time this year?
Well, and if he is, Steve, I would say that most people around the NFL would nod their heads, because the thinking going into this game was how rare these two rookies for the Cowboys were, because they were still ascending and they had not hit a rookie wall. That's very rare. Most rookies at least hit some sort of a wall. Sometimes they bounce back from it. So they were very, very rare, and still may be. They still may have a tremendous season, and we might still be talking about them when the calendar turns February. But you did see some cracks in the armor there that I think would concern you. I don't think they'll go to Romo, if that's what you're wondering,
right. Because
I think this is Dak's show now. But it's going to be very interesting to see how much he can handle going down the stretch.
Jack Ham and I were talking yesterday, and we started chatting about Sean Lee. We know what Lee brings to the table physically. We see it on every play. But he's also the guy that calls out what they're doing defensively and gets them into the right spot. When he's in there, what is the domino effect of Sean Lee on a Dallas defense?
Well, the guys up front are basically told, you know, keep it clean so 50 can make a play. And how many plays did he make the other night? I mean, Sean Lee has had injury issues that have held him back, but they've also held the Cowboys back.
Yeah.
They are a vastly better defense and better team with him on the field. And I can't tell you how many times over the years with him, Paul Posluszny, who's obviously with a different franchise, different situation, but how many times over the years people have said to me, boy, Sean Lee's a heck of a player. Boy, Paz is a heck of a player. It's not a surprise to any of us, but then you see it Sunday night, and he really stood out. He made them go, and he could have wrecked that game. I mean, he is really, really good.
Yeah, and he gets that defense into the right spot. He sees things other people don't see, and obviously a guy that would notice that would be Jack more than anybody, because that's how he played.
Absolutely. You know, now listen, the one thing Sean Lee can't do is catch Odell Beckham Jr., so, and that was the difference for the New York Giants the other night. But Sean Lee certainly rushed the passer. He was in on, you know, the run game. At one point, there was I don't know what the announcer said. It looked to me, and I may be wrong, looked to me like it was a run blitz, and it was the exact right call, and he stoned the running back. So he is as good as it gets.
It was a run blitz, and you hit the right call at the right time, and and that's why he was as open as he was. All right, now let's go to the other side. The Jets. Why are the Jets where the Jets are?
Well, bad quarterback play. No fit. You know, last year it was Ryan Fitzpatrick and his Fitzmagic. This year there's been no Fitzmagic, and now there's no more Ryan Fitzpatrick. Bryce Petty gets the job because he's the one prepared for it. You know, the vibe at the Jets is a concern. I do think Todd Bowles returns, barring something crazy in these last three games. But, and they do have two at home, so we'll see how that goes. But I knew and I reported that Christian would essentially be redshirted with the Jets, something he, of course, was not at Penn State. I'm a little concerned just about the vibe, but I think it'll be vastly different next season, and I would expect he'd be competing for the starting job next offseason.
Well, wasn't the vibe on Bryce Petty bad a year ago? Because at Baylor, you're not expected to do things, especially at the line of scrimmage that the NFL does.
Yeah, I mean, he was, you know, he didn't know how to huddle. He didn't know how to huddle. He didn't know how to take a snap under center. He didn't know how to call play. You know, they called everything from the sideline. I know a lot of teams do some of that now. I see Penn State doing. I get it. Everyone does it. It doesn't help you get ready for the NFL, though. I will tell you that Bryce Petty couldn't read defenses. That's one thing that I still have to believe Christian brings to the table. You know, I've been told by many, many people, put him on a whiteboard and he impresses with the very best. He knows what he's seeing. He knows what he's doing. So I have to believe that that training will still carry over. You don't lose that, I can't imagine. So I do think Christian's ahead of the curve there. But, yeah, out of Baylor, Bryce Petty was a project. But now they're, you know, Chan Gailey, the offensive coordinator, has kind of called Christian a developmental player. That bothered me. That's not something, you know, he can say whatever he wants, but it wasn't a smart thing to say.
Right, exactly. So now Bryce Petty gets his shot. In terms of the talent around them, is this a failure on their part to put the right parts in there, or are the parts that they put in there not living up to what they thought it would be?
McCagnan, the GM, wanted to have it both ways. They called it a competitive rebuild. They wanted to keep the team competitive enough that fans in this market in particular would stay interested and stay optimistic, but knowing they had to rebuild the roster. It is now easy to say, and you could have said it 2 years ago, they should have just broken everything down and rebuilt. They now have veterans who aren't invested. They have veterans who don't want to be there. They have veterans who are on short contracts because of the salary. I don't care what their actual contract is, but because of the salary cap, they're almost also short contracts, and they're not going to be here in a year. So, you know, how would you play if you're a veteran? Well, it can go two ways. You're either one of those prideful guys I talked about earlier, or you're a me guy who says, I'm going to make it through this season as healthy as I can and see what happens. So it is not a good environment. I do expect it will improve in the off season. It can't get worse, but it can always get worse, Steve. It is not a good environment. I'll be at the Jets tomorrow to see that again for myself. Not a good environment with the New York Jets.
You talked earlier, Kim, about the fact that the Giants locker room is a great place to go into, and it's a great workplace. When you go into the Jets locker room, is it a different feeling?
It is. I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick is such a great leader, and this year the performance just didn't allow him to keep his job. That's a very tough spot. It's hard to lead from the sidelines. It's hard to lead after being benched. So that takes away a real positive, good, mature veteran presence in there. Eric Decker got hurt earlier in the season. Everyone has injuries, but that one hurt the Jets in many ways, the red zone in particular for Fitzpatrick. So it's really a collection of guys, a couple, you know, some of the big guys are still holdovers from playing for Rex Ryan. That was a different situation than playing for Todd Bowles. And I really think the Jets are still finding their way. I do think this this group will have next year to find it, but they're going to have to find it in 2017.
3 weeks to go in this regular season. Give me four or five teams that now you're zeroing in on that you think can make a run.
Well, I think the Giants are one because of their defense.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see what Seattle brings without Earl Thomas. He's one of those glue guys. They have several of them. They have a bunch of glue guys, but I'm curious to see about that. I didn't stay awake for the whole game last night, but obviously the Patriots win in different ways and will always win with that quarterback. So I'm probably not going to surprise you with any of those names, I think, you know, even talking to folks at NFL Network as we look ahead, now we're just guessing like everyone else, but none of us will be surprised if the Patriots are back in the Super Bowl.
All right. Now, as we continue the guessing game, teams that maybe a couple weeks ago you thought were, but now you have more questions about with 3 weeks to play.
Well, Buffalo, because I thought I thought Rex Ryan would get a third year there. I'm not nearly as certain. Things have really kind of fallen apart. Talk about injuries. Talk about changes, the offensive coordinator fired in September, all kinds of things happening. But I thought the Bills would ascend, and they're not. So that's something to watch for me in terms of, is there a coaching change? I think Pittsburgh's a team to watch. I don't know if they're even going to win that division, but they should. And with that talent on offense, they are so incredibly dangerous. So I'd watch them. I guess that's back to the positive side of things. And I think Denver, I mean, we may have a situation where neither Super Bowl team from last year makes the playoffs.
Right,
now, it's very hard in the NFL to go back. They make it that way. They like parity. But we may have a situation this year where they're 0-2 in terms of Super Bowl teams, even back in postseason.
What do you think of Kansas City?
I think they're tough. I think they're talented. I think that they make plays. I love Eric Berry, not only his story, but his play on the field.
Yeah.
I think Aaron D. Reed's easy to root for. So I like them. I really do. I like them a lot. What do you think?
I agree with you. The only area that I would be concerned if I were a Chiefs fan is that they keep the margin of error too close. I mean, the way the style of play keeps the opponent in the game.
Yeah, and that's how that whole game manager thing, right? I mean, they do it pretty well, but you're right. When you do it that way, you know, a big play beats you in a heartbeat.
Yeah, and that's the only thing about them I would worry about. I love, though, how they closed the Denver game in regulation and then how they played overtime. That showed me something on the road.
And Tom Bahali's still there getting it done. I love that, too.
Yeah, same here. Hey, as you said, too long, my fault. Okay.
I didn't get a chance to tell you that I had the Patriots game last Sunday. I did not sleep the night before, thanks to James Franklin, Saquon, McScorley. I call him McScorley, not McSorley, McScorley, and all the guys, because after watching that game, Steve, who could sleep?
I know that the play-by-play guy got to sleep about 3 and then got up at 7 to get on the bus and go to the airport.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Love it. Thanks for having me on, Stephen. And Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays to you and everyone.
Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays to you, Kim. It's always great to hear you.
Anytime. Thanks, Stevie. Bye.
Kim Jones, NFL Network playoffs, of course, get underway this weekend for the National Football League with a couple of games coming up on Saturday, 2 more on Sunday as we get into the meat now of the NFL season with the playoffs set to begin. As 12 teams now have an opportunity for getting first-round byes and, of course, the other 8 playing this weekend. All right, so fun show today. Tomorrow's show, we take it on the road. We go to Ann Arbor. All right, now ask yourself, all right, yesterday I'm in Los Angeles, and right now I'm in Detroit. All right, ask yourself, what's wrong with me? Usually people go from Detroit to Los Angeles and never come back. I went from Los Angeles to Detroit. But after 5 years of this show, you know there's no rhyme, reason, logic, or sanity on this end of the microphone. You understand that. All right, great to have you with us. Tomorrow we'll do the show from Ann Arbor as Penn State gets ready to play basketball against Michigan. As we make that hard transition from football really into basketball season, right into the meat of the Big Ten schedule, that's all coming up as well. So looking forward to that. Great to be with you today. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And from the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. I'm Steve Jones on News Radio 1070 WKOK.